people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight, writing about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting men talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fog that I. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program, here at WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, I was talking today to a very interesting man who'd been around the Canadian House of Commons for a good many years, and he told me, he gave me some very upsetting information, and he told me that a number of former Canadian members of Parliament who were social conservatives, opposed to the LGBTQ agenda and so on, have recently gone through horrific audits by Revenue Canada. Does this sound familiar? Well, it probably should, because the Obama administration targeted a number of Christian groups for special treatment and harassment by the IRS. Among these people in Canada was a longtime Reform member of the House of Commons and later a Conservative member, Art Hanger, who's a great immigration critic from Calgary. Maurice Vellacott, who was very much pro-life, Dennis Mills, who was actually a liberal, but fought against the LGBTQ agenda in the House of Commons, within the Liberal caucus, and one of the most strongest social conservatives, who had been one of the youngest conservatives ever elected. He'd been in Parliament for 18 years, Rob Anders. And all of these faced horrific, costly, soul-destroying tax audits. Coincidence? Well, I don't know. Another thing I learned today, actually I knew some of this, was that the members of the LGBTQ community are very well organized, and that they started infiltrating the conservatives and the liberals and the NDP, or that's our Socialist Party, were perhaps a little easier to take over because the ideology that at least has been in sway there for perhaps the last 20 or 30 years is very conducive to this. But how did the LGBTQ crowd get same-sex marriage? How did they develop the political pressure for this horrific legislation that was called Bill C-16, which made them one of the made the transgendered or actually sexual identity a privileged group, and it means that at least in some jurisdictions, like the province of British Columbia, you must, not you should, or it would be politically correct to do so, you must address a mixed up, sexually weird person by whatever pronoun that person wants. In other words, you're compelled to play in that person's cat litter of mental delusion. I often give the example, if I wake up this morning and I think I'm Napoleon and put my hand inside the bottom of my shirt as if I'm going to hold up my pants in that classic Napoleon pose and parade around going to a coffee shop or restaurant and announce to people I'm Napoleon, nobody is under any obligation to address me as emperor. I may be nuts, but you don't have to be. Where did all this come from? And then in the case of Justin Trudeau now, this absolute obsession with the whole LGBTQ thing. He seldom misses a gay pride parade. I think by my count, I might be wrong, he's been to 5 this year. Don't forget, he's the prime minister of the country. You would think he would have more important things to do than prance around the streets of some Canadian city with the sexually bizarre. No, apparently he doesn't. Anyway, well, how did this come about? Now, I was told, in terms of the provincial Conservative Party in Ontario, I was told this over 30 years ago, that among the staffers for the Conservative, for the members of the legislature, there were actually what they called gay daisy chains. That is, homosexuals who liaised with each other and infiltrated their ideas slowly into members of the provincial legislature's minds and gradually wore their resistance down. You see, many people who are elected are not necessarily people of high principles. In fact, it's sometimes said, and this may be, maybe cynical, but that actually having high principles is a detriment. Better to have no principles at all, and you can bend with the times. I think this is perhaps needlessly overly cynical, but there's something to it. Over a period of time, ideas that would have been anathema many of these people at their home base gradually became accepted. And these daisy chains, these well-connected homosexual staffers, played a big role. as a member of the provincial legislature, or even more importantly, as a member of parliament, so much comes across your desk. Requirements to deal with constituents issues and efforts, and so on. Caucus concerns, committee meetings back in your at your home base, the sessions when the daily sessions when the parliament's in session of the parliament, so much comes across your desk that you can't handle it all. And so you depend on staffers. And so that becomes a very important position. And so what I was told, and I was told this years ago, that homosexual interests have infiltrated the Conservative Party and wore down the innate conservatism of perhaps many of the members on social issues. The same thing, my informant told me, was noticeable even under the Harper government in Ottawa. And I was told that perhaps up to a quarter of the staffers in the Prime Minister's office were homosexual or lesbian. Now, that, and Mr. Harper himself had been, and perhaps remained, a Christian and social conservative. Many of his caucus were firmly pro-life, anti-LGBTQ in terms of special privileges, and against same-sex marriage. But the party line became, we will not raise these issues. In fact, even members of the Conservative caucus were strongly urged not to bring up these issues. These were forbidden, even though that's what these people believed. And my informant said that a good deal of the cause of this was the presence of considerable numbers of homosexuals among the staffers. Now, when you might ask, well, what's considerable numbers? Well, the LGBTQ crowd make up about 1% of the population. So let's say there are 200 staffers. Well, normally there would be 2-3 if they're present in proportion to their share of the population, but apparently his estimate was that the numbers were up to about 25%. That's considerable, and as he understood it, what undermined the social conservatism of many of the liberals of a previous generation was the presence of a large contingent of lesbian and radical feminists among the staffers advising the Liberals, and particularly the Prime Minister. We have right now, in the person of Trust Fund King, Justin Trudeau, one of the most militantly pro-LGBTQ, pro-abortion politicians in the Western world. It may not be widely known, but Canada is almost unique among Western countries in that it has no abortion law. Anything goes. A woman may slay her unborn child up to the moment that it pops its head out of her womb. Every member of the European Union has laws. Now, they may be fairly permissive, but in most cases, they prevent late-term abortions. I think Canada joins one or two other countries that have no laws at all on abortion. One of them apparently is communist Vietnam, and I'm not sure I was told what the other one was. Well, how does that come about? Public opinion polls show that the vast majority of Canadians want some restrictions on abortion. Now, Canadians may differ about how far it would go. Such restrictions would go, but Canadians are not comfortable with complete abortion on demand. Well, why is it that the political process is so finds it impossible to deliver that? Well, part of the reason is
all of the major parties have been successfully infiltrated by the anti-life forces. And politicians, either from commitment or cowardice, are prepared to hold the view that we just shouldn't take a stand on abortion. The abortion rights are sacrosanct. In fact, our trust fund kid, the Prime Minister, has told the Liberal caucus, you cannot run as a Liberal unless you are fanatically committed to abortion. As a member of Parliament, you'll be kicked out of the caucus if you, it turns out you hid your private commitment to the sanctity of human life, and if you ever speak up or, worse still, vote against abortion, you'll be gone. Now, this is tyranny, to say nothing of what it does to individual conscience or to a member of Parliament who might say, well, regardless of what I might believe personally, a majority of my constituents want some sort of restriction on abortion. So that would be typically the thought pattern of an honest representative who would say, I have to represent the views of my constituents. It's not to be. What I enjoy doing, and I enjoy, of course, being able to pass this on to you, my listeners, is to is when I can to explain the how or the why. Okay, we have this situation or that, but how did this come about? I hope the information I came upon today helps explain this just a little bit. Now today, this being the 22nd, this afternoon, we had our monthly free speech meeting, Canadian Association for Free Expression meeting in my hometown of Hamilton. And I departed a little bit from the month's topic, but I was actually going to deliver my fairly extensive talk, Jailed for Jokes. That's right, you heard it right, Jailed for Jokes. The Your War News case, and how there's this brutal sentence of a year in prison handed down to the editor, Dr. Jane Sears, about a month and a half ago. That's, of course, now under appeal. But that and several other free speech matters were things that I want to talk about. And I did in the end. We're lucky to have two very good people at the meeting. One of them was Bill Watcott, who's one of the Canadian political prisoners and truly a Christian martyr. He explained what he's going through. And we also had an independent political candidate who's going to be really raising hell in Brantford, and that's Leslie Borey. So what I'm going to do is play just a little bit of a portion of the Bill Watcott's talk this afternoon, and I want to thank Lily for having recorded this. This is only part of the talk. It gives you a flavor of some of the battles he's been through. And this is Bill Watcott. This is Paul Fromm.
Abortion or the LGBTQ, the alphabet that's bigger every day, seen. So Bill has had a couple of developments in several of the cases he's been involved in. So I'll ask Bill to come up and shed some light on it.
Well, thanks for coming out, and thank you, Paul, for letting me speak. I got right now four cases going simultaneously, and I didn't do that by design. One doesn't have a lot of action going at the moment, and that is the misgendering case with Mr. Morgane Auger. His birth name was Ronan. He discovered at age 43 that he was a woman and renamed himself Morgane, and he left his wife and kids to go pursue what he calls as a lesbian relationship with another woman. And that poor girlfriend, I met her at the Human Rights Tribunal. It's interesting when you look at his Facebook, you'll see his girlfriend refers to him and loves him, I believe. And then him, I kind of see him as a slime. And he's never, in 2 years of following his social media, ever referred to his girlfriend by name. She's only his political pawn. Refers to his girlfriend as a dyke, my dyke girlfriend, as proof that he's a lesbian. And, you know, she has all these posts about, you know, her time with him. He doesn't have a single photograph of her. Just simply, you'll only know her as his dyke. So I find that interesting, a very unequal relationship that I think that woman is going to live to regret. But anyways, for those of you who don't know, Morgane Auger ran for the BC NDP, and I just think he's a heterosexual socialist predator. And so I put out flyers to that effect that he's a biological male, and of course as a Christian, my opinion, that God does not want you to vote for him. And somehow he believes, and I guess he correctly believes, as far as Canada's going, that as a transgender candidate, you don't have a right to speak about his so-called gender identity. So in December, I was fined $55,000 and ordered to never talk about him again in a negative way. So that is currently under appeal. I found a lawyer, Daniel Moll, a Christian lawyer in Alberta, who is appealing it, and that's where that one is at. More recent development, I guess in this past week, the lawyer that I had on a $104 million lawsuit, for those of you who don't know, I infiltrated the Vancouver Pride Parade first as a, at first I applied as an openly Christian man because they believe in diversity. So it only makes sense that, you know, they have a diverse point of view out there, and why not have me march in their parade as a Christian? That, for whatever reason, did not appeal to them, and they told me I was not welcome, so they forced me in the closet. And so I reapplied as a gay high priest of the Calgary Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And they welcomed me, they embraced me. And so if you go on the website, you just got to put Bill Walcott Vancouver Pride. You know, I was in the closet, I could not look normal the way I look, because that would draw too much attention. So I put on little skimpy bikini shorts. And then I had a rainbow shirt with a spaghetti monster on it with little tentacles. And it had a rainbow that said the flying spaghetti monster is gay. I let my hair grow about 3 more inches. And then I put it shock pink. And then I had a pink goatee, sunglasses, and a fairy cape. And honest to God, I was welcome to the parade. And, you know.
No, that's just the flavor of
abortion or
the great talks we have at our meetings in across the country. Bill Walcott went on to explain some of the other things that had happened in his case. Among them, he went on to infiltrate in 2016 the so-called gay pride parade in Toronto, and he again tried to apply as a Christian. They didn't want him. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that those who, as he points out, prattle on the most or a lot about diversity and inclusion, they don't include, nor do they want, Christians or other points of view. They don't. Bill Walcott, having failed to gain acceptance as for who he really was, dreamed up another name. These are the gay zombies, and they
suited up six Christian friends suited up in green bodysuits and handed out tracts explaining the dangers of homosexual practice. Now, I emphasize practice, or sometimes people call it lifestyle. I don't like that term, but practice. Yeah, homosexual attraction is one thing, but acting upon it is a different thing. And here I get into kind of a bit of theology, but Catholic theology has taught that inclinations or temptations are not sins. Maybe you have a strong desire to steal. You know, you see something in a store and you feel the inclination to shoplift it. I see it, I want it. That inclination is not wrong. I mean, it's the inclination is wrong, but you're not personally guilty for the temptation. You only become guilty if you give into it. So anyway, the difference between a homosexual attraction and a homosexual practice is vast. On a moral level, it's the practice that would be, well, many Christians would feel, would be the sin. And Bill Wachtkopf was warning in his tract that homosexuals should come to God, that they can change their behavior, and that their behavior is not only immoral, but is dangerous. And he had photos there of anal cancer and various other, you know, disgusting offshoots of homosexual practice. Anyway, the he distributed, I think it was about 3,500 of these tracts, I believe that was the figure he used. And he said he was stuck, or his gay zombies in the parade were stuck right after men in leather, whatever you would call the contraption that shows their entire bottom bare, with dog collars around their necks, and in some cases on all fours barking. These are people who are into a particular sadomasochistic scene. And he said that in that particular parade, the then interim leader of the Conservative Federal Party, Rona Ambrose, was marching in that parade, and she seemed perfectly okay with that. See what I mean about the deterioration and infiltration of much of the conservative movement in Canada, or conservative party. Many would not consider it really part of the movement. But and so after that parade, all hell broke loose. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, was in the parade, and in his literature, Bill Watcott took quite a whack at the Liberal Party and Trudeau's complicity in the LGBT agenda and in behavior that he believes, and many Christians believe, is immoral. Well, all hell broke loose, and Bill Watcock was slapped with a $104 million class action suit. This is unprecedented in Canada. He and the unnamed zombies, the Christian, were on the hook. Should the class action suit be accepted and upheld by the courts? A huge sum of money. $104 million. Eventually, a judge ruled that, for various technical reasons, the class action suit could not be registered. And we would have trouble explaining what his reason was. So, okay, you say victory. Well, not quite. He said that the material in question was such hate propaganda, hate. You know, quoting the Bible, and quoting scientific fact, medical fact, is hate. And so he said that the individuals in question, see, a number of individuals with a class action suit, you have to have some proof that there are people out there who want to be part of it. Among the people who wanted to be part of it, apparently, were the lesbian then Premier of Ontario, Kathleen Wynne, the trust fund kid, Justin Trudeau, and various others. So the judge said that while he could not certify this as a class action suit, he said that the individuals could, on an individual basis, go after Bill Watcott and the others. And he ordered Bill Watcott to turn over the names of his followers, the people who participated or who had in any way helped him. For instance, had provided him with an air ticket from Vancouver, from where he at that point lived, to Toronto. Well, the people, many of his supporters were quite obviously seriously afraid. Watcott said that he would, under no circumstances, reveal their names. Well, and this is what's now working its way before the court, if the appeals court rules that the judge was within his rights to order this, then Bill Watcott, that order will have the force of a court order, obviously, and to defy it is contempt of court. And the punishment for contempt of court is jail. Yeah. So Bill Watcott at the meeting today pointed out that before too much longer, two people could be in jail. Dr. James Sears, the editor of Your Wrong News, and himself for essentially telling jokes or a spoof. The presence of the gay zombies at the Toronto Gay Pride Parade, it was a joke on the homosexuals. You go to jail for a joke? The rollicking satire of the tabloid Your War News could land a man in jail? And I made the comment in my introduction to Bill Watcott and my thank you one will run across Canadians who from time to time will run across these people who will blithely say, we live in a free country. And I think it is absolutely incumbent on all of us to firmly or otherwise, depending on the person, set them straight. For instance, to say, do you believe that? And Alfred Schaefer is very good at this on a different issue. His big issue is the so-called Holocaust, this load of guilt that we are saddled with, or they would like to saddle us with. And his approach to people is to say incredulously when somebody's going on about the Holocaust, that you don't still believe that, do you? As if the person just announced the person believed in the tooth fairy. I think it's important that we confront our fellow Canadians at every opportunity with this huge contradiction. You think we have free speech in this country? Don't push it too far. You'll quickly find out free speech or speech is not free. And that there are people who fanatically want to slap you down and silence you if you open your mouth and say things they don't like. And Bill Watcott went on to outline two more cases flowing out of that same 2016 infiltration of the gay pride parade late in the regime, or at the, actually in the in the death rattle days after she had lost the 2017 provincial election, our lesbian liberal prime minister, premier in Ontario, and her Pakistani Muslim attorney general filed charges against Bill Watcott under Canada's notorious hate law. So the same set of arguments or pieces of information that were the subject of this massive lawsuit, and still could be if the people in question, the alleged victims in question, want to pursue it, the case civilly against Bill Watcott or the names of any of the gay zombies if they're able to find them out. So that same incident, that same participation as a spoof in the gay pride parade has landed Bill Watcott before the Ontario courts, charged under Canada's notorious hate law. In this case, willfully promoting hatred against a privileged group, in this case, sexual orientation. That trial is scheduled to open the first week of January next year, and a whole, many of us in the free speech movement will be in attendance. This is a particular affront to Christians and to anybody, to free thinkers. And we challenge the Christian community to come forth, to pack the courts, and to pack the courts, the courtroom, because a man is on trial for the nonviolent expression of his religious, largely religious, belief. That's atrocious. Where are the Christians? And that's a very good question. I don't have an answer, but it's a very good question. So we're up to three legal cases. Well, the fourth. There's an individual in Vancouver named Jonathan Yaniv. His mother is an Israeli Jewess. Now, Jonathan prefers to go by the name Jessica. Jonathan still has a penis, and excuse me for being blunt, but still has a penis, believes that he's a woman, and presents as a woman, that is, puts on a dress and so on. So last autumn, Yaniv started contacting estheticians in Vancouver. Now, these are low-paid women, that's kind of an important point, who will, among other things, give a woman a Brazilian wax. Now, that is the removal of the genital hair, and it makes wearing a very skimpy bikini better. There are some males who like the same thing, and that's called a Brazilian wax. For men. He contacted, we believe, about 19 estheticians. Three said they had no problem with he said, I'm a woman, I'm Jessica, but I still have my penis. Yeah, if I got a phone call like that, I'd say, you're Jessica, you're a freak, that's what you are. But anyway, three of the 19 had no problem. Now, what did he do? Go immediately go over and present himself to be waxed? No. That's significant. These were not good faith inquiries. These were ambushes. So he continued calling women, and the other 16 said they had a problem with this. No, they would not feel comfortable waxing Jonathan Yaniv, or Jessica Yaniv, is a key, whatever the delusion might be, but waxing this person who thought they were a woman, but still had a penis. and he proceeded to drag them or to complain against them to the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal. This was all known last fall. We tried, CAFE tried unsuccessfully to raise this matter at Bill Watcott's human rights hearing, where he was under attack as he was explaining earlier, for having criticized this transgendered Ronan O'Jay when he ran for the British Columbia legislature. Okay, so we were absolutely slapped down, not allowed to raise this issue at all. Since then, of the 16, two have settled, having given $2,500 each to Yaniv. This is a shakedown. Several others have gone out of business, either for religious reasons or because their husband said, this is unacceptable. And rather than face this type of harassment, these women, who in many cases were single mothers, trying to support their families, and this is, Bill Watcott pointed out, is minimum wage type of activity. You don't get, you're not pulling in a big dollars for providing a Brazilian wax, male or female. So several have gone out of business. Wow, there's a big victory. And if you're interested in the multicultural aspect, a number of these women are visible minorities. So, in a sense, one of our newly privileged classes is under attack. and one of the cases has already actually had a hearing, and finally some decent journalists did shed some light on this travesty of justice that's been going on. So those are the Watcott cases. This is Paul Fromm. I'm going to take my musical break now. I'm going to play Scots-Irish or Ulster folk songs. You'll recognize some of them. The Ulster Scots played a big role in the settlement of much of North America, including Appalachia. Thank you.
Beats his drum. For at least you know sports cars and astronauts on their way to Mars. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to walk. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Give me an Ulster boy who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. There are men over in Paris, France, who know all about sweet romance. They know how to wine and how to dine, how to make a woman feel oh so fine. The all-American boy with his big hat, with his big wallet and his big chat. He knows how to live the real good life. You could be his fine little wife. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to walk. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Give me an Ulster boy who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. There are men in India and Pakistan, men in China and Japan, men in Brazil and Peru. They know what to do, let me tell you. All over this world you could find a man to give you sweet loving as best he can. All over this world you could find a lad to love you through the good and the bad. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to walk. Give me an Ulster boy who knows how to talk. Who beats his drum. For at least you know where he comes from. At least you know where he comes from. At least you know where he comes from.
for pleasure, I rambled to view fields all alone. Down by the banks of Knockaren, where beauty and pleasure were known, I spied a fair maid at her labors, which caused me to stay for a while. And I thought of her goddess of beauty, that blooming bright star of Bright Isle. I humbled myself to her beauty, fair maiden, where do you belong? Are you from heaven descended, abided in Cupid's fair throne? Young man, I will tell you a secret. It's true, I'm a maid that is poor. And to part from my vows and my promise is more than my heart can endure. Therefore, I'll remain at my service and go through all my hardships and toil, and wait for the lad that has left me all alone on the banks of Fair Isle. Young maiden, I wish not to banter, 'tis true I come here in disguise. I came here to fulfill my last promise and hoped to give you a surprise. All I know is you're a maid I love dearly, and you've been in my heart all the while. For me there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of Fair Isle. For me there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of Fair Isle.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. The shows are repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and wine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom homes and loved ones dear firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save.